Good morning. My name is Jimmy Winston, and I'm one of the deacons here at Village Baptist Church. I'm grateful to be able to read the scripture this morning. Our scripture this morning is Luke, the 5th chapter, the 1st through the 11th verses. You can follow along on the screen that's reflected on the wall, or you can find the scripture on page 937 in the Pew Bibles. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats that were at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowd from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word.
I am a member of LinkedIn. Now that doesn't make me all that special. Worldwide, there are over 467 million members of LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the world's largest professional social network on the internet. It's a business and employment networking service that connects workers with other professionals and with potential employers. I joined LinkedIn not because I was looking for a job, but because a friend asked me to connect with him. Over time, more friends have asked me to connect with them, so now I have a small network of relationships, including some of you. LinkedIn has members in over 200 countries and territories, and the site is available in 24 different languages. Two more members join LinkedIn every second. It's especially popular with students and with recent college graduates. Now, the basic function of LinkedIn is to let workers and employers connect with each other. Members create profiles that can be accessed on the internet. Workers' profiles typically include their education, their training, their work experience, often accompanied by a photo. I don't have a photo on my profile. Employers can list available jobs on LinkedIn to search for potential candidates. LinkedIn allows professionals to research companies, nonprofits, government organizations that they might be interested in working for. Recruiters, HR personnel, and headhunters can use LinkedIn to identify potential employees. According to Forbes magazine, LinkedIn is far and away the most advantageous social networking tool available to job seekers and business professionals. Now, this sermon is not meant to be a promotion of LinkedIn. With over 133 million members in the U.S., chances are many of you already know about it. But the fact that so many people are LinkedIn members is an indication of how many workers are at least open to the possibility of a new job or even a new career. It is increasingly rare for employees to work for the same employer their entire work life. Most people change jobs over time. Many change employers, and some people change careers. There was a story in the Washington Post last week about a neuroscience researcher who's now a seminary student at Catholic University. He has a PhD in biology. He received a postgraduate position at Yale. He was offered a tenured track position to do research at a pharmacy school connected with the university. Yet he gave up the study of the molecular basis of depression and eating disorders in order to go back to school to become a Roman Catholic priest. I suppose there are a lot of reasons that somebody might want to change their career, might have to do with compensation, might have to do with job satisfaction, it might have to do with a sense of calling. Some people must change their career because of a lack of job opportunities in their previous line of work, or maybe they change careers because of their inability to do that previous type of work. AARP published a survey of middle-aged and older workers who are interested in a second career. They call it an encore career. The closer workers come to retirement, the more likely they are to be thinking about another career. About 65% of workers say that they would like to have another job after they retire that pays, but only about 27% actually get another job that pays after they retire. One key to starting a new career is figuring out what you really want to do, what you're passionate about. If you do start a new career, you might need more education or more training. Chances are you will take a pay cut to start a new career. However, if you're doing something you really love, often it does not seem like work. Well, in our scripture for this morning, Jesus offered a new career to some fishermen. It began as the fishermen were washing out their nets after a night of fishless fishing. Simon and his partners overheard Jesus teaching from one of their boats as they went about the tedious task of removing debris from their nets. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Now, my guess is Simon was not too excited about that command. They'd been fishing all night. They'd caught nothing. Besides, they were professional fishermen. What did Jesus know about fishing? Yet perhaps he remembered that Jesus had healed his mother-in-law of a high fever just a few days earlier. And so they followed his command. They went back out onto the lake, and they cast out their nets, and the nets became so full of fish that the nets began to break. Simon signaled to his partners in the other boat to come and help them. Soon both boats were filled with fish to the point of sinking. When Simon Peter saw it, he was overwhelmed with awe and fear. He said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Not only Simon, but also his partners, James and John, were amazed at the catch of fish. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When the fishermen brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. It was the beginning of a new career that would change their lives forever. Well, we know what happened next. Simon Peter and his brother Andrew and James and John became a part of that group of followers that were known as the 12 disciples. And they did begin a new career, a career of following Jesus. And eventually they would join in that great enterprise of drawing people into God's kingdom. Instead of catching fish, they would start catching people. But unlike the fish who were caught for death, the people who were caught would be caught for life. The term catching people is made up of two Greek words, which means catch alive. Peter and the others would catch people not for death, but for life. Catching people for life was the great enterprise that they would begin. Now, it's not that Peter and the others gave up fishing for fish completely. They still had families to support. In John's gospel, there's another story about fishing that took place after the resurrection. Peter and the others had gone back on the lake fishing for fish. Jesus appeared to them, told them to cast the net on the other side of the boat. The net was full with an amazing catch of fish. And so they were still catching fish even after Jesus was raised from the dead. But after they began to follow Jesus, they were about more than catching fish. They were also about catching people for life. On the day of Pentecost, after Jesus had ascended into heaven, all of the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to share the good news of God's kingdom. Peter got up and preached a sermon to a whole crowd of people, and we're told that those who accepted his message and were baptized were 3,000 souls. And so in a single day, 3,000 people were added to the church. What a catch! Catching people for life. I want to show you a photograph of a lady that you've probably never heard of. Her name is Cynthia Maung, M-A-U-N-G. She was born in 1959 in Myanmar, also known as Burma. Her family was a part of the Karen ethnic group in Burma. Her parents were active in a local Baptist church. After her basic education, Cynthia entered the Institute of Medicine II in Yangon, formerly known as Rangoon, where she trained to become a medical doctor. She graduated from medical school in 1985 with a specialty in obstetrics and gynecology. Dr. Maung began her medical practice in a private maternity clinic, and then she moved to another maternity clinic closer to her mother. But in 1988, her life took a dramatic change. Political unrest and the persecution of the Karen people led Dr. Maung and many others to flee the country. She ended up in a refugee camp in Thailand. In February of 1989, 5 months after she had escaped from Myanmar, Dr. Maung established a medical clinic in a dilapidated building in the refugee camp. The clinic was open to respond to the outbreak of infectious diseases in the camp, including malaria and pneumonia. With a staff of only 6 people and minimal equipment, she began to treat the patients in the camp. For a time, Dr. Maung sterilized her medical instruments in a rice cooker. Eventually, the malaria epidemic was brought under control. Her other patients included trauma victims who were suffering from gunshot wounds and injuries from landmines, as well as women needing maternity care. Support came from the Baptists in Thailand, as well as the Karen people who were in the diaspora outside of Myanmar. Now, that was in 1989. By 2003, the clinic was treating more than 42,000 patients a year. They had a staff of 6 doctors, over 200 medical and administrative personnel, including 20 to 40 international medical volunteers. Now today, that same clinic treats up to 400 patients a day. That's almost 150,000 patients a year. Patients include refugees, migrant workers, local residents. And in addition to providing medical care, the clinic trains interns and nurses and hygienists. And social programs of the clinic are feeding up to 500 people twice a day. Dr. Maung's clinical focus includes obstetrics and gynecology, but also women's reproductive health, domestic violence, and human rights. More than 50 NGOs, international organizations, and educational institutions provide support for this clinic that remains in the refugee camp on the Thai-Myanmar border, as well as individual donors. Now, when Dr. Maung graduated from medical school in Myanmar in 1985 and began her OBGYN practice, it's unlikely that she ever envisioned running a medical clinic in a refugee camp. Yet, due to circumstances beyond her control and due to her faith in Jesus, she has fashioned a new career in a place of great need. This year, the Baptist World Alliance at their annual gathering, which is in Thailand, will recognize Dr. Cynthia Mong with a Denton and Janice Lotz Human Rights Award. According to the BWA Executive Committee, Dr. Cynthia Mong is a woman of faith who's committed her life selflessly for the welfare of the poor and the oppressed. Well, for most of us, catching people for life does not require a career change. It only requires that we follow Jesus in the places where we already are and respond to the needs around us every day. Tonight, we begin in our church the Warm Nights Ministry to the Homeless. And the homeless census of the people that are expecting to come to our building this evening is sobering. We know of at least 23 people who will be spending the night in our building tonight. And of those 23, 11 are teenagers or children, almost half. The needs are all around us. And Jesus offers us a new career beyond what we are already doing of catching people for life. And you don't even have to join LinkedIn to do it. All you have to do is follow where Jesus may lead. Our Father, all of us are busy. Many of us have careers. Many of us have families. Many of us have plenty of things to do. And yet you challenge us to begin a new career of catching people for life. You challenge us to add to what we are already doing, to be concerned for those around us, to share of our faith, to let people know the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, to minister to those in greater need in Jesus' name. You've surrounded us with opportunities, our Father, to catch people for life. And we pray that you would open our eyes and open our hearts and help us to fish for people too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a closing song in just a moment. And it may be there's someone here today who'd want to profess your faith in Jesus, to receive the forgiveness and the salvation and the eternal life that he promises, to follow him as a believer in baptism. Or maybe you've made that commitment to Christ, but you're not a part of this church. You want to join us as we seek to serve God in this place. The invitation is to come to the front as we stand together and sing hymn number 481, Go to the World.